and welcome to another edition of the Full Force News Burst, brought to you by GeneralsJoes.com, with me as your host, Chris Can-I-Hasbro McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. On this instalment of yet another interesting kind of burst, I am joined by Justin, Only Time Will Bell, to discuss a few updates regarding Hasbro, including an update on the move from Pawtucket, a Nerf arena to be built in Singapore, terrible factory work conditions, and even a Hasbro-themed water park. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this news burst. Lots of catching up to do here, as Hasbro have been churning out the good and bad news just recently. Firstly, we have an update to the move from Pawtucket and facing an urgent call from Pawtucket Mayor Donald Grebian for help keeping the world's second largest toy company in his city. Governor Raimondo and top legislative leaders promised Tuesday to do everything we can to keep Hasbro and Hasbro's jobs in Rhode Island. Hasbro has acknowledged it is evaluating several options for its headquarters. It remains unclear what, if anything, the company might be seeking to stay in Rhode Island and in Pawtucket specifically. Emerging from a closed-door strategy session with House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello and Senate President Dominic Ruggiero, Raimondo told reporters gathered in the hallway outside her State House office, "The three of us met to make sure we are all on the same page, and I think I can speak for all of us that we are committed to keeping Hasbro in Rhode Island, and we want to make sure that just like they have been here for 100 years, they're going to be here for another 100 years, hiring Rhode Islanders. First priority is to keep them in Rhode Island, and of course, if we could keep them in Pawtucket, we would love to do that as well." Hasbro's stance still remains the same, although CEO Brian Goldner did pop up recently to say that they will be making a decision in mid-2019. So Justin, can I get your thoughts on whether you think Hasbro will be in Pawtucket or not come next year? Do you think they will come to an agreement to stay?
I think that would be, at this point, it seems dubious, just my opinion. I mean, I think I would love it if they did, but I don't know. I mean, more and more Hasbro seems to be thinking globally and thinking kind of big picture. All the rumbling and mumbling, I don't know. It seems odd to be talking this much about it if something isn't kind of in the works, but
yeah.
It's weird to hear Goldner actually specify, you know, might not be in Rhode Island at all, because, you know, we thought the move was just from Pawtucket to Providence, but it sounds like perhaps they're thinking even larger scale than that.
It seems like we've got three things going on, doesn't it? It seems like the Pawtucket thing is a possibility. They could move out of there and go to Providence.
Yeah.
There's an added element to that, that they might be renovating a new property in Providence to move everything there. There's another thing, theory of they're only really going to have an HQ in Rhode Island for tax purposes. That seems to be one of those kind of things. They've got the HQ there, but then obviously they work out of LA. So, you know, I suppose that is a way. I think a lot of companies do that. They have an HQ somewhere that, you know, I suppose means they don't have that, you know, certain tax breaks, I suppose.
Yeah, probably. But,
and on top of all of this, you've got the area, Pawtucket and Rhode Island in general, desperately trying to cling on to them because they produce so many jobs. But what is interesting about that is that Hasbro did recently cut about 500 and something. So there seems to be like a very, I don't know, there's loads of conflicting things pulling all over the place here.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're probably aware of it because we're so much, you know, we're so absorbed with kind of how the toy industry works, because stuff like this happens in corporate America all the time.
Yeah.
But it does, it seems really, really strange that they're talking about all these, you know, financial problems that Hasbro is having, all this controversy around shareholders and possible lawsuits and SEC filings and things like that. Meanwhile, they're talking about spending millions of dollars on, you know, either overhauling a building in Providence or moving out of the state entirely. It's not real pleasant to think about that, you know, they've got to put 500 people out of work so they can afford a couple, you know, billion dollars on creating new property space for the rest of them. But, you know, that is the way corporate business works these days, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't necessarily surprise me. But, yeah, it's really bizarre. I don't know exactly what's going on. I think Hasbro is kind of, to be honest, is struggling to find its own identity a little bit, as much as we're all wondering what they're becoming. I think they're kind of wondering what they're becoming as well.
Yeah. I mean, from a personal point of view, I feel like Hasbro, I feel like they have definitely made their mind up. And this whole thing is just the process that has to be gone, that everyone has to go through. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but if I was a betting man, I would say they were going to minimize their footprint in Rhode Island, but keep the HQ and start moving things, you know, generally in that kind of West Coast direction. Or, yeah. I could see them moving out of Pawtucket. I could see, but staying in Rhode Island, because it already feels like the argument has gone from, oh, please don't leave Pawtucket, to, oh, for goodness sake, just stay in Rhode Island.
Exactly. We'll let you go to Providence, just don't leave the state. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, all a bit weird at the moment. And obviously, we'll keep you up to date with any more news that comes up from that. Following on from this... In even more depressing news, a very dark story emerged out of the Chinese factories that both Disney and Hasbro use to make a lot of their products. The report coming out of CNBC suggested that the conditions were very poor for the workers and could even be described as dangerous. In peak production season, employees were working up to 175 overtime hours per month. Chinese labor law restricts monthly overtime to 36 hours per month, but the report alleged factories would often ask local governments to implement a comprehensive working hours scheme to override existing legislation. Workers were also not being given the legally required 24-hour safety training before commencing work, meaning they were unaware of how to protect themselves from toxic chemicals. The investigation also showed that employers were failing to provide them with the necessary safety equipment to prevent contact with those chemicals. According to Solidar Swiss, workers often handle chemicals such as benzene, which have been linked to poisoning and leukemia. Investigators also found that workers were being forced to sign blank employment contracts and were provided with poor living quarters, which often housed 8 people in one room with unsanitary facilities and no hot water. Hasbro responded to say, "The allegations in the report are not substantiated by Hasbro's extensive monitoring and audits conducted throughout 2018, and both suppliers are in good standing with Hasbro's robust ethical sourcing requirements." Not the best to hear, even if it's not a surprise when companies look to the Far East for competitive pricing in the manufacturing process. What are your thoughts on this, Justin? Are you surprised to hear this report?
I don't know if I'm surprised. I mean, I think we've all heard horror stories about the factories over there. I mean, typically, a lot of the horror stories have centered around factories that work, I think, for Apple specifically, where they're talking about there's like this rash of suicides and just people are actually forced to live in the factories that they actually work in. And obviously, some of the images coming out of these reports is confirming that. I mean,
wow.
It's really bizarre to think about for those of us here in America that there are people actually out there who have to live where they work, basically, who live at these factories they work in and basically roll out of bed and go to work and work, 12, 14 hours a day and, make miserable wages. And I will say it was eye-opening, not necessarily surprising, but you've heard a lot of press in the last couple of years about how they're completely overhauling, their audit processes. And you hope that that's all true and that things are really getting better for these workers. And there's this whole certification process that they typically have to go through. And my understanding was Disney was pretty aggressive with those kind of requirements. So you got to wonder, is Disney and Hasbro aware that this was happening? I mean, these are factories that are owned and operated by folks over in China that the American corporations are not necessarily, aren't aware of every small little thing that goes on over there. But at the same time, at some point, they've got to be held responsible. You can't just kind of close your eyes and say, oh, we didn't know what was going on. But how can you really realize that, these places in China can charge such a low fee to produce these items if they're not cutting corners as far as, hours worked and wages paid and living conditions and things like that. I mean, prices have been going up anyway, but you would think that they'd be going up a lot more if the living conditions were a little bit more comfortable.
It's one of those things as well where you remember when you'd get like audited or you would get, say, when I worked for Toys R Us years ago, when we would have the head honcho come in,
of course.
We'd have to be in there like 2 days cleaning the place, working late shifts to kind of make sure everything was really spot on the next day and everyone had to be on point. So you can imagine when Hasbro and Disney and those kind of guys do their clearly explain, we're going to be coming in this week, to do this. They know when they're coming in because they're having to organize the travel and all that kind of stuff, I'd imagine. I don't think they do many kind of surprise visits.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I used to run a KB Toys and I can vouch for that 100%. You usually know when the district manager, the regional manager was going to show up. And when they showed up, you put in the extra time. You made sure the store looked as it was supposed to look every day, but clearly didn't because he had to put in all these extra hours to make it look good enough. But
clean all the sinks and the...
Exactly. mop the floor, all the stuff.
Make all the beds because obviously they're all sleep in there, aren't they, at KB? No.
You would like to think that to really confirm that these factory conditions are appropriate. You would think there would be unannounced audits. Otherwise, you know, you really can't. There is no way to confirm that the factories are really complying with your regulations. But but who really knows? I mean, it's tough. It's a tough call. And if there isn't unannounced audits, then, you know, this isn't surprising at all, because I'm sure the factory will do what it needs to do to look right when Hasbro corporate comes visiting.
Well, I'm sure this will either be swept under the rug, a conspiracy style, or we'll hear about, you know, some I would imagine there'll be a bit of pressure on these companies to kind of maybe be more hands-on with this it's hard to say, isn't it? Like, a lot of these stories pop up and then you don't hear about them ever again, and you kind of think, well, everything must be fine, but you know fully well exactly. It's not, you know it's still exactly the same.
We've heard reports of factory conditions, you know, every few years for decades.
Yeah.
And you're right, it happens. You know, you hear this report and everybody's like, oh, this is disgusting, we need to do something about this, for a week or two, and then it fades from public consciousness and nobody thinks about it, and everybody just assumes, oh, things are fixed now, even though nobody actually did anything.
Yeah.
And this story comes up again and the cycle just kind of starts all over again.
We'll keep you updated anyway. Let's move on to some more, I suppose, odd, random, but at least more uplifting news. In more uplifting news, Hasbro are looking to open the first of their planned family entertainment centres in Singapore next year, and it will be a Nerf-centric centre. Referred to as Nerf Experience, the attraction will span 18,000 square feet on the ground level of the Marina Square Shopping Centre and will offer multiple activity zones that aim to encourage active play, teamwork and more. It makes a lot of sense that these family centres that we reported on a number of weeks ago will be Nerf-related due to the ability to merge their brands comfortably into the format. As well as that news, Hasbro have also revealed plans to open a water park in 2022. We don't know where yet. The mighty toy company has partnered with Imagine Resorts and Hotels to launch its first ever themed indoor water park and family resort. Set to open at an undisclosed location in 2022, the resort will feature themed hotel rooms and entertainment, an indoor water park and experiences inspired by Hasbro brands including Nerf, Monopoly, Mr. Potato Head, Candyland, Hungry Hungry Hippos and My Little Pony. Imagine will build and operate it. So, Justin, firstly, what do you think about Nerf being the main element here in the entertainment centres? We did both agree it would probably have something like this involved, but now we can confirm that Nerf is the theme.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's a lot of fun that can be had with Nerf and all that stuff. It's you know, it really does, and it can be pretty universal. You can have a G.I. Joe Nerf, you know, kind of shooting range, or even a Transformers Nerf area, or what have you. But so yeah, I think that's kind of one of the more ubiquitous brands that they can cross, you know, they can cross over with a bunch of other different properties. So I think that definitely makes sense.
Plus, it's like very physical activity as well, isn't it?
Which exactly,
is kind of what you need
yeah.
in an entertainment center.
Yeah.
Also, I suppose the fact that when we spoke ages ago, when we were talking about the Toys R Us kind of closure and everything, and we were kind of saying, you know, it would have been great if they'd had Nerf arenas and this, that, and the other. This just seems like one of those things that they've probably heard so many times since Toys R Us closed.
Yeah,
they're probably
exactly.
thinking, oh, everyone wants it. And then what will happen? They'll build them all and no one will go in.
No one will go. Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm just glad, you know, I'm thrilled that, you know, these 500 people that are out of work during Christmas, at least we're getting a Hungry Hungry Hippos water park. That's all I can
say. I don't know why I laughed so hard at that. do you think HasCon was a testing ground for that?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm betting that was kind of a proof of concept sort of thing to see how they could leverage some of their brands to do more interactive kind of physical activities. Yeah. And judging by, you know, attendance at each of those places throughout the weekend, it was pretty successful.
Big time. I mean, that was definitely the place to be.
There's a different mentality, though, between spending, you know, $20 a ticket or how it was more than $20. It was, you know, it was spending money on a ticket to go to this thing and being able to do all this stuff for fun for free for a day. And like spending specific money to go to a Nerf theme park, I think is kind of a different mentality entirely. So we'll see how successful it is.
But I'll be really interested to see what they do with it. And I'm hoping it's like, it's maybe Nerf centric, but I think around there should be loads of stuff going on as well. That to me sounds like a lot of money if they're going to be making multiple of these. But anyway, first one in Singapore, which is interesting. What are your thoughts on the water park? I mean, are they taking heavily from the Disney model here? Is it a good idea?
I mean, yeah, it's. I think it'll be fun. You know, depending on where they do it. I mean, but yeah, I think there's some fun to be had at water parks. I know my kids love going to water parks. I don't know if they really care whether it's a Hungry Hungry Hippos water park versus any kind of other water park. But
Q-Force.
But yeah, yeah. There you go.
Q-Force.
That's what they need to do.
Killer whales. Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah, sea lion. Kind of roller coaster kind of thing. You jump in the sea lion and you just go, yeah, that'd be
awesome.
That
would be awesome, especially if you're like
that.
the little side things separate off and you hoss off on two little separate engine things. That'd be brilliant. Yeah, okay, so we've...
Of course, you can't put a Q-Force water park in Great Britain because it just rains and it's cold there all the time.
It would have to be, like, indoors, an indoor water park. an odd decision and something that definitely took me by surprise, but I'm looking forward to hearing more about this.
Yeah.
And obviously, there was no mention of G.I. Joe in there for, nope. I suppose, very obvious reasons, but you never know. And obviously, when the film's going, they'll obviously want to advertise it, so maybe there'll be things that happen in those... you know, Nerf arenas and...
If they're getting serious about kind of becoming an entertainment company, I think it makes sense to have these sort of tentpole type of destinations that they can slap branding on at a moment's notice when they've got new movies coming out and drive people to them. Because I could see, you know, if they... And I know we were kind of wondering, because I don't think Transformers is actually part of this whole project.
No.
But in the case when, you know, if it were part of this project, you know, with the Bumblebee movies released, they could take one of their existing rides and kind of make it a Bumblebee movie ride pretty easily and end up driving people to it. But
yeah. Well, anyway, so lots of random things happening around Hasbro. Not all good, not all bad, but I wouldn't say it's leveled out, but a lot of interesting stuff happening. Again, we'll try and keep up to date with it. I'm currently in the United Kingdom at the moment, so time difference is an issue and trying to get hold of people to do stuff is very, very difficult. So we're trying to get these out in good time, but as you can imagine, it's very difficult over the Christmas period in general. You know, I just feel like all my time is taken up with eating. Happy Christmas to everyone that's listening. Happy holidays. That's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my wonderful co-host Justin Bell. See you very soon, I should imagine, and as always, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter @TheFullForce, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of these platforms with feedback, questions, or to say, who do you think you are? A serious operation now? No, not even close. Look out for more of these news bursts that we are posting on the Facebook page from now on. Full Force.